for CBA Mobile.
Thank you very much, Bucky W2T.
Yes. In Gerald Geode.
Yeah, it was, and I think I heard Rusty in there. Sounded like you were across the room from your microphone, Rusty.
I'm sitting here at my desk, and I've got it on a hanger that's about a foot and a half away from it, so I'm keeping it there because I'm working while listening to you guys. Go ahead, Tom.
Work. That's a four-letter word, Rusty. Especially for retired people. Well, you must have got good news. You're out of there fast and you're still above the grass.
They were doing the shots out in the parking lot. I went inside, and of course they didn't start back till 2 o'clock, and so, well, it's like a minute till or less. But anyway, so she said, the lady inside said, boy, it's outside. And I went, outside? She said, yeah. I said, okay. And she said, you have to park over there where the reserve signs are. And so all of them were full. So I just pulled up right next to the tent and where I wasn't blocking anybody. And when she came out, I rolled my window down. She asked me what my name was, and I told her. And she came over there. I was the first one to get the shot, which, you know, I had appointment at 2, so. And just gave me the shot. I didn't have to get out of the car.
Do you like that? And Medicare pays for it.
I did get the high-powered shot, she said. She said, you're getting the high-powered shot? I said, I don't know. I said, just bring it over here. And I said, I'll take whatever you're given. Go ahead, Rusty.
I'm going to sit here and listen to you guys talk and see what kind of lies you're going to be telling today anyway. So I've got trying to get minutes for my last Zoom meeting typed out so I can send them out the day before the Zoom meeting tonight. So I'll be listening, and if I've got something to say, I'll holler at you. Go ahead, Tom.
Okie doke, Rusty. Good to hear you. Oh, I'm just sitting here, Dave. Well, I was going to comment. I had that high-powered shot last year, and it didn't bother me a bit. But, boy, it did Bernice. Man, I mean, she had the chills, was in bed, and I had to call the daughter and get her up here. I didn't know what to do. And she took Tylenol for it, and it didn't help a bit. And that's what they recommend is, you know, I said, let's try aspirin. And I went and got a couple of aspirin. And boom, she got over it in no time. But she was really, really down and sick. But she went all day and it didn't do anything. Then that evening, it really shocked her.
I don't know if I'll have any effects. Side effects, I usually don't. I'm trying to remember if it was the flu or the COVID shot. I think I felt kind of, you know, something for about an hour that evening, but it wasn't bad. And then I took a couple of aspirin. I take Bayer back in body. It's 1,000 milligrams. It's the highest dose of aspirin you can take, and two tablets. And so anyway, took that, went to bed, went to sleep. I was fine the next morning. So anyway, all's well that ends well. Oh man, I just hope I don't have any, you know, serious side effects. But I'm not looking forward. I mean, I'm not expecting that. Well, what can we? Let's talk about Rusty. What can we say about Rusty today, KB4CBA?
I just don't know. He hasn't given me any targets to fire at. I got plenty of ammunition.
I mean, couldn't we just, you know, like shoot one across the bow or something?
They rebound.
He is just listening, Dave. What do we call that? Sandbagging. Oh, I was trying to read an article here about the early demonstrations of and tests of the Pedersen device that was developed at the end of World War I. And Mr. Pedersen, I can't remember his first name, John, I think, he developed a device. They didn't have automatic rifles then, and he developed a device that you could put into a 1903-83 Springfield rifle that would, instead of firing a 150 grain bullet, 30-06, it would fire a 30 caliber automatic pistol round and do it semi-automatically just by slipping a different bolt in and putting a clip in it. And rather interesting, I have a 0383, I think was, they did the milling on it for the device, but at the end of World War I, they recalled them all and destroyed them. Because I think the M1A1 come out about then, or one of the better automatic rifles. And it's just kind of interesting. You know, there's some other famous guys, you know, John Browning and different ones, but this one just kind of interests me.
I've never heard about that. I've got an M1 from, that was my father-in-law's when he passed away. But, you know, they made three different kinds or brands, and I can't remember which one it is. And I keep saying this, but I really need to get it, take it out of the case, and I've got it in a nice case, and, you know, tear it down, clean it, and because I want to fire it, and, you know, if it needs any adjustments with the sights and all that. But I think it would be fun to fire. I've bought some ammunition in it for it, and then I found a ton of ammunition in storage building, and he had it all in coffee cans, of all things. But and there is a bunch of it, and it's already in the clip, and the clips are in a little, you know, green pouch. I don't know what you call those things. And I mean, there's a ton of it too.
All right, Dave. Bring me a couple of cartridges over, and I'll pull the bullets on them and see if the powder burns all right. And I think they'll be just fine. You want to look for any physical damage or external damage on it, or rust or anything like that. But usually they're pretty good because they're brass. But the powder, it won't explode, Dave. It's an improved military rifle powder, and but it'll burn in a linear fashion, real quick like. So it'd be easy to do. But this device that he developed, the problem was it added 3 more pounds to the rifle, which. This is the one we trained in boot camp with, and it was 9 pounds. But it significantly added to the heft of the firearm. It also dramatically increased the rate of fire, as it fed a 40-round magazine, and in testing, it could fire approximately 100 aimed shots a minute. Besides the increased weight, a significant trade-off was the diminished power of the cartridge, which featured a 30 caliber, 80 grain projectile versus 150 grain. Actually, there were 171 in the 30-06. But this shot an 80 grain projectile foot per second, so instead of 2,700 with a 150 or more grains, so less kick, allowing a they did trench warfare back then, and they could just they made it up to the enemy's trench. They called them trench cleaners, and they could just fire those things with 100 aim shots out of there a minute, and they were powerful enough to down a man, So it was kind of interesting, but they destroyed them all, so it's very rare to ever see one. There are some still out there that collectors have.
That's interesting. I tell you, I know you carried around a lot of weight, so, nine more pounds. Y'all were just jumping up and down for joy, I'm sure. Hang on one second. I'm placing an order here.
Ordering there this afternoon, Tom. Hopefully something legal. How is Bernice doing today?
Told me. She brought me a cup of coffee and a cookie, and she just now told me she's going to go take a nap, which is rather rare. But she's feeling pretty good. Can't get outside to do anything today, really. But we're just waiting for that echocardiogram on the 25th, and then maybe they can work her in.
Glad to hear that. And a nap never hurts anybody. Today's a good day to go take a nap. If I wasn't here typing on the computer, I'd be doing the same thing, checking the inside of my eyelids for leaks.
Something about taking a nap I don't like. But every time I do, it's been beneficial. So I think it's a good idea, especially for us old farts, But I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. I just go looking for things to do. And I know I got something to do down in the basement. I just haven't spent much time down there this morning looking. I was going to go down to Publix and buy some more of those red plums. And I had a letter I had to mail into the taxes for the tax on the Avalon, and the mail person got by too quickly, so I waited on her to go by the opposite direction and caught her, because I didn't want to put an envelope with a check in it out in the mailbox. So I mailed those in, and other than that, it's not been too exciting a day. But just thankful we got that rain.
CPA.
I was going to tell you, they recommended ordering 100,000 devices immediately, but cautioned they should only be put into combat service when 50,000 are ready for use to maintain the shock effect on German military operations. They quickly retracted that when the war ended. But at any rate, hope you got your food all right. I don't know what you're getting today. I'm going to have some stew for supper here after a while.
I could tell you, but I'm sure there would be some complaining going on, crying and all that stuff. So I'll just keep it to myself.
You weren't jumping for joy with that 9-pound piece, and you didn't call it a rifle or a gun. It was a piece. And if you did call it that, you'd usually get slapped upside the head. And you almost slept with it, but not quite that bad.
I remember my cousin, she had four boys and three of the four were in the service, and Lizelle, when he went, he went to Vietnam, and he was right in the middle of all the combat. You know, they went out every day, and when he came back, he was pretty messed up. He is, was not the guy that left, that's for sure. He was just so giving and, you know, warm-hearted and just a nice guy, a great guy, and do anything for you. And but he had a buddy he grew up with, and they wanted to get together over there. So Lizelle was a sergeant. He got him in his same, I don't know what it's called, unit or company. And so they were out on patrol, and his friend was out on point, and he stepped on a landmine and blew both of his legs off, and he died right there. And Lizelle felt responsible for that, you know, and he just never got over it.
And a friend back in Kansas that did the same thing. He was in the Brown Navy, ran up and down the Mekong Delta there, I guess it is. And he had stepped on a mine and bugged both his eyes out, and shrapnel all over him, and was tore up pretty bad. But he was a ham radio operator, and he kind of gave me the incentive to study. You know, I figured if he could do it, I could do it. And that would have been what I would have been if I was in the Army, would have been a sergeant. I was an E5, but any war, any time, any place, it changes you. There's no way to get out of it, even if you're not out in combat and that. I was in an air crew, but it's nothing like being out there in the bush in Vietnam. And I saw things that no man should ever see, because I wound up being medevac in the hospitals, and it'd tear your heart out. So I can see where he can come back different, and I think all of us did, especially the ones that are out in the bush or in Afghanistan or Iraq, or it doesn't matter. There's something there that it just changes you. And going through boot camp, there's still things I do that I learned in boot camp. The way I fold my clothes and everything else, I still, it's just a good way of doing things. And they program you like anything else. And you're a program killer by the time you get out, basically. But it's something you can't forget. And God bless them all.
CPA. Yep, I'll second that. God bless them all, because I tell you, I have no idea. And I can't even imagine. My cousin Lizelle, his brother, Hal, was old, but for some reason, I don't know, maybe you can explain that, he was on land in Vietnam, and he got exposed to Agent Orange, and that's what killed him. It took, I don't know how many years, but the doctor said, you know, that's what killed him. And he was actually sick at his Uncle Wallace's funeral. I was there because I'm kin to him too, and or was kin to Wallace, and he already had knew he had it, but he didn't say anything about it, and I hate that because that's the last time I saw him.
Yeah, I was boots on the ground over there also, and there's sights and sounds that I still see from over there, but it's a good place to be from, I can tell you that, Dave. But you know, there was we would rotate and fly back to the Philippines every so many weeks, and if you went downtown in the Philippines at that time and saw the poverty and the children and the things they were doing and having to play in and that, it was a good place to be from, too. I guess it's improved a lot now, but we have so much to be thankful for over here, and I don't think you really know that. I know people do, but until you've seen things like that, it's just hard to describe.
Again, I can only imagine. I've never been out of the country and don't plan on it. So if you hear I'm out of the country, then you'll know it was against my will. Somebody had to take me at gunpoint. In fact, I probably just tell them to go ahead and shoot me because I'm not going. But anyway. My goodness. And, you know, we still got troops over there across, you know, in several countries, and it just goes on and on. And I hate that, but evidently it's necessary. But anyway, well, I'm pulling in the garage, so I'm gonna say 73s. I'm glad Bernice is doing okay. I can't believe you're still letting her wait on you, but golly day. But anyway, we'll just keep praying, you know, that surgery date get here in a hurry. So, but you y'all have a good one. Enjoy the rain. And I'll talk to you later, Claire, after your final and 0TRKB4CBA.
0TR. Well, Dave, I'm doing a lot of things for her that she's never let me do before. And I'll take the Fifth Amendment. I don't want to admit it, but I am. And like the dishes and helping with the washing and all that. She just happened to be in here and go over there and get me a cup of coffee because I was sitting down and she was walking that direction. But she wouldn't, no matter what. That's just the way she is. But she does a lot less for me now than what she normally babied me at. It's the best thing I ever done was meet Bernice, I'll tell you for sure. She's a wonderful wife. And I'm sure you other guys have ones, too. Anyways, take care, and we'll catch you down the line. I haven't seen much on HF Radio at all except FT8, so if you like that, there are stations on for that. But last night, there was nothing else, pretty much. Take care, Dave. Good hearing you. KB4CBA and 0TR73s to you and Mr. Rusty.
Catch you later, Dave. And you too, Tom. I'm just about finished. I had to walk away a while ago while y'all were talking. I'm expecting a delivery from Amazon. And, of course, my porch is all wet. I'm worried that they're going to stick, just come out there and set the box down on the porch. Not good for electronic equipment inside a box, you know?
My electronic?
got me a new DVR player. I didn't have the one I had before. Will only work on a TV that takes the three input post, and my TV is a smart TV and it only takes HDMI input. So I had to finally find one that was a reasonable price that had HDMI as the input, and I did. And it's supposed to be delivered today, that and a box of envelopes for mailing QSL cards.
It's great. I didn't know that you could have one without paying a big fee to be able to. You can record the TV programs with that. I know that's a dumb question, but I hadn't even heard of DVRs in a long time.
What was it? You can get those that do that. This is just a player. This is, so I've got all these DVD movies, and I like to sit and watch them sometimes. But currently, I didn't have any way to play them, so I've had all these movies sitting over here in my cabinet, and I finally decided I've got a way to hook it up, so I ordered me one, and ordered it yesterday, and it's supposed to be delivered today. In fact, it says it's out for delivery. It's supposed to be here between 3 and 6 p.m., so I'll see what it, if it actually shows up, and then I'll go from there, you know?
Well, that sounds good. I noticed a guy yesterday in Walmart, and he was buying DVDs there, and I didn't even know they still sold them, but they had a bargain rack out there by the other side of the TVs down here at Taylor's, and there were $5 a piece. Now, I don't know what movies were in them, but it was interesting. I had all of the Gunsmoke movies. And right after I throwed them out, there was 20 years of them. I found out that I had a friend that would have loved to have them, and I'd have given them to him. But I'd just thrown them out maybe a month before that. But I think I bought all 20 years for $100, and they were really good. Some of them weren't. They were Chinese knockoffs, I'm sure. But I bought them from someplace down in the Caribbean, and a few of them were lousy. They just weren't good, you know, all broken up, video and that. But for the most part, they were. Okay, well, enjoy. Keep your eyeball peeled out there for Amazon. I got something coming tomorrow. But it's like Christmas when you get my age, Rusty. You order something from Amazon, and then you forget what the heck it is. So it's like a Christmas present every time they ding the doorbell. Talk to you later. W2T and 0TR73.
And say hello, Bernie. We'll be W2T clear.